But you're tired of it Tuesday is? I almost forgot that it was 2:05 on Tuesday. I think I know what it is. I think I know what you're going to say.
Better make one of us.
And I think, well, I'm thinking out loud.
No. You do know what it is.
Okay. I know what it is. Okay. Good. I was going to say, we're going to have to be like, all right, just hang on for 15 seconds of dead air. And we're going to have to do a private huddle on that. Because I knew we were on the same page until we weren't. Before we do that, I want to tell you, you know what? Let's just go to old school. We'll go to old school and get that phone call. He patiently waited through the break. Old school, what's going on?
How you doing, guys?
Doing great, man. Thanks for getting in.
All right. I'll be brief because I know you got things to do. I just wanted to comment on Valerie Caicos for a second. She sounded to me, when she said she wants to enjoy what she's doing, the process, she sounded like Dabo when he said the same thing, basically, about when you have so much success as she has, sometimes you forget to have fun. So I admire her. I hope she has much success, and I hope she has some fun doing it. I'll take your comments out there.
All right, wait a minute. Before you go old school, yeah. I have a question. I have written down here, I have the Magic getting 1.5 against the Knicks tonight. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Where are they playing?
They are playing in Orlando.
The Magic are getting 1.5. Take it.
Oh, yeah, baby. I love where your head's at, Olds. Look, I like the way the Knicks are playing, but Orlando at home as an underdog has been real strong recently.
I understand that, yeah. But I think right now Jalen Brunson is still upset that he's not an all-star, so he's going to put a little bit extra in it.
Okay. I like that. Thanks, old school.
All right, guys.
Appreciate the phone call.
Love your show. Take it easy.
Thanks, you too. Well, Ben, that's all I need to lock that sucker in. I'll take the point and a half. With
you
the Magic.
Are you showing signs of a desperate man over there.
Yes, I. You hey, know, I got my $50 last
hey,
night.
Hey, Texter,
I
before you go, you got any any hints on the?
I did scratch my neck a little bit, like I did the. I did the junkie scratch.
You got any,
there.
You got any idea who's on the rail in the third race?
Oh, man. With that, Ben, we need to talk about what we're tired of.
So, are you sick and tired of a certain athlete?
Sick and tired.
Tired of a particular story?
I don't know about you, but I'm getting sick and tired.
Got that one sports figure that you're just ready to see move on?
You know what I'm sick and tired of?
Well, we get rid of the people and the stories that make you sick.
Make me sick. I'm just sick of this, and I'm sick of you. So sick, I don't know what to do with myself. Now, I am just sick and tired.
It's time for Tired of a Tuesday with Kwok and Ben.
And when I'm not sick, I'm tired. I am sick and tired.
On the Roar.
Ben, I basically just did my Tired of It Tuesday already with the rant about, I was going to rant about Brian Ferentz being a bad son and Kirk Ferentz setting his kid up to fail and picking the wrong kid. That was my Tired of It Tuesday. Instead of rehashing all of that, you know what? I'll just yield the remainder of my time to the gentleman from Anderson.
Well, thank you, Kwok. I accept your time. Kwok, I am tired of the ACC schedulers.
Now, we just had ACC football schedule. Are you talking football or basketball?
Both.
Oh, both. Okay, good.
I am tired of I am tired of doing things that do not help your conference, help your league. Bear with me for a moment. You had to take notes from the SEC in football when it came to scheduling games or scheduling easier games before your rivalry weekend, because that mattered to the SEC. You know what? In that case, it did mean more. Rivalries, they did just mean more. And your conference was smart enough to schedule so that it gave your teams an advantage. That's the way it should be. You look at the ACC, what do? Well, let's start with football real quick. And you and I still haven't done a scheduling show.
Oh, no, we haven't. Good call.
But, Kwok, there are, I'm going to guess, 5-6 games this year in football where you're putting your teams having to play a conference game on a shortened week.
Correct.
You're talking about football players having to play like Saturday, Thursday, Saturday, Friday, when it's already tough enough to get everything in that you need to get done and schoolwork. Heaven forbid we do that now.
I believe Louisville has three of those, by the way. I think they have three non-traditional weeks. I know they play four non-Saturday games, but I think they have three short weeks like that.
Louisville plays on a Friday, a Thursday, a Friday, and a Thursday. Boston College is another one. And Boston College, for home games, Boston College and Syracuse sometimes prefer those Friday nights.
True.
Because of when high school football is played on Saturday a lot of times in those areas.
Good point.
But still, you're not doing anybody any favors by doing that. But now let's turn to basketball. We're in basketball season, right? And I would ask you to forget for a moment that we're talking about Duke and our disdain, for many of us, our disdain for all of the favors that Duke has been given over the years. And the list is long, my friend. Not the case this year in basketball. You're doing Big Monday for a reason. You're doing Big Monday basketball because contractually you're supposed to. It highlights, it's a good game of the week. I watched Miami blow the doors off of Duke last night and enjoyed every bit of it. It was a highlight game. But for those teams, it does nobody any favors. And here who has played on Monday nights this year. And keep in mind, this schedule was done before the season starts. So think who the conference thought was going to be good in this league. You had Duke, Miami, Virginia, Syracuse, Duke, Virginia Tech, Syracuse, Miami, North Carolina, Louisville, Duke, North Carolina, FSU. Those are all your contestants for Monday night games. In some cases, these are big games. I mean, last night should have been a big game between Duke and Miami, right?
It was big.
I mean,
very important.
You're thinking Duke's going to be a top-ranked team this year. Forget it for a moment that it's Duke. Duke plays the most emotional game of the year for them on Saturday night at home. Okay, now, and I've been through this with Clemson basketball. I mean, like, I've kind of seen this travel schedule. All right, you play that game. You're clear of all media and team functions by about 9:30, 10 o'clock on Saturday night. You come into the gym at 9:30 on Sunday morning, probably do some treatment and some team meeting, and then you're back in the gym, I'm going to guess at 1:30, and you do your one and only true practice for Miami. Then you get on a plane about 4:30. You fly to Miami. The next morning, you go have shoot around where you try to review some of what you just learned 12 hours or so ago. Your one and only practice preparing for Miami. And then you got to play a meaningful contest that night. I mean, again, it couldn't happen to a nicer team in Duke. But that could have been anybody. And for a conference to schedule that is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, despite what you think about Duke, they're one of your bell cows in this conference from a recognition standpoint. When they're on TV and they're on primetime TV, you want to see them play well. There was a lot of reason to think Miami was going to be right there. So I get the fact that you want that on a Monday night, but you got to cut these teams some slack on Saturday. I mean, you're giving everybody a break at some point. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that your break needs to come before this big Monday game. Playing a Saturday Monday is absolutely ridiculous. You get also, and it is a kind of a side note to last night. Think about the preparation and the game plan playing against North Carolina, and what you think you're preparing for to defend them, and now think about Miami. In a lot of ways, they're opposites.
Right.
I mean, you took Miami last night. That was the lock of the year in my mind. The lock of the year.
$50.
Because Miami was good. Miami should have and did blow their doors off last night for two reasons. One, they're a better team. They're far and away a better team than Duke. But the other one is scheduling like that is absolutely stupid. It is absolutely stupid. Here's the only team, the only road team that has won this year on the Big Monday is Virginia at Syracuse. And I would argue that game, that was a 5-point game. In fact, if I remember that right, Syracuse was up with like a minute and a half to go or 2 minutes to go. That game shouldn't have even been that close. It was a 5-point game. Every other road team has lost this year.
I used to take the home team implicitly in Big Monday. And you could find upsets easily. Like if Duke had been ranked and Miami was unranked, you would still take Miami in this game. Because you can find upsets implicitly. Especially, and to me, this is the critical point, is if Duke was coming off of a home win over Louisville or, you know, Georgia Tech or some hapless, you know, patsy, it would still be, to your point, it would still be a quick turnaround. Let's not ever let anybody make any statements about student-athlete welfare.
Mm-hmm.
Your whole weekend's gone. You get no recovery. Like you said, you get a recovery morning, not a recovery day. You get a recovery morning after your game. You've got to go hard on a practice before you get on a plane, and you're going through shoot-around. You're doing all that stuff. It is absolutely impossible to recover from a Saturday to a Monday. And yeah. Somebody does it every week. I get it. But it's impossible. But you gotta, to your point, you gotta schedule it right. You can't ask a team, I'm not even talking about just a young team like Duke, you can't ask a team to play their rival on Saturday and then fly to somewhere else to play on Monday. You can't do that.
No, and again, there's always a game or two every year where you go, man, that's just not good. This is intentional. You've done this. You've got 7 straight Mondays of this. And you're not doing your conference any favors at all scheduling this game. Adams & Co. Roofing text line says, Duke looked like they had no clue what to do with Miami's pressure. They couldn't pass or dribble. Yeah, there's a good reason for that. Again, Miami's a much better team, but also there's no possible way you can prepare to play Miami on one in one practice. And that's right. What you ask them to do. And you also are recovering from another game and also having to work in travel in that too. And North Carolina hosts Miami next Monday after playing Clemson on Saturday there.
They have two of those in the month of February.
Okay, and so here's – and then the final one. And you think about what we – kind of projecting out where we think North Carolina may be at that point. At this point. North Carolina's going to play a home game in the final – it's the next to final week of the year.
Yes.
And then they're going to turn around and go to Florida State on a Monday night. There's a potential that is the biggest game of the year in terms of – your future for North Carolina. It's going to be one of those that is not going to help your RPI or your net either way, but if you lose it, you're going to sink. And they're going to have to do the same thing. I for the life of me, whoever does, I'm convinced that there is a low-level intern in the ACC office that does scheduling. I think that's what's happening.
I don't.
Because other conferences aren't doing this garbage.
Well, and you know that North Carolina, Virginia is going to be a knockdown dragout. It's not going to be like Duke, North Carolina, like that turnaround. But North Carolina is hosting Virginia, again, in a massive game. Maybe the biggest in terms of giving yourself a quality win. Maybe the best opportunity you've had all year to get that quad one win in conference play, again, down the stretch. And then you have to turn right around and go into what's probably going to be a half-full arena, but a jacked-up group of Florida State players who are playing better basketball right now. You are setting North Carolina up to get a big win and then fall on his face. That's what you're doing with that scheduling. Now, at least they have them with the Clemson-Miami Saturday, Monday. They're playing them both at home.
Yeah, and if I... wait a minute. Say that again. Playing both of them at home.
They play Clemson at home on Saturday, and then Miami at home Monday, and then they have to do the home road with Virginia and Florida State in 2 weeks.
Okay, I thought North Carolina was on the road.
Let me...
No, it's at North Carolina. You're right. Yes, you're right. So at least, Texter's trying to... thank you for that. Both North Carolina's got both games at home.
Still.
It's still tough.
Still. It's a tough turnaround.
There was a couple of years ago where... well, it's been more than a couple now. I don't think they do this as much anymore where you're doing back-to-back road games. I know the women's team's done this a couple of times, but 3, 4, 5 years ago, Clemson played at Syracuse on Saturday and then played at Notre Dame on Monday. And so you go to Syracuse, you play a late night game, you fly straight to South Bend, you practice one time, basically 1.5 times in their gym, and then you got to play another game.
I want to talk about that coming back because there are other leagues that do this literally all the time, and that's a little different because you at least get conditioned to it. That's different than what we're talking about the ACC doing to his best teams. We'll discuss on the other side. 654-ROAR is the number. We'll come back for more after this.
2008 was an incredible year for me and my family. Not only was it the year that I became head coach at Clemson, but it was also the year that I found the only dealership I need for sales and service. Toyota of Easley is my kind of place. If you are considering the purchase of a new or used vehicle or need your current vehicle serviced or repaired, then I encourage you to go see the winning team at Toyota of Easley. Be sure and tell them Dabo sent you.
Check out the Press Box with Brad and John Hogg every weekday morning from 9 to noon here on The Roar. Brad and John will get you caught up on all things college football, from Group of Five to Power Five, Clemson football, coaching carousel, and more. Brad and John also keep you up to date with everything in college athletics, as well as the Atlanta Braves. Check it out each morning on 105.5 and 97.5 FM, or tune in on our app or website, theroarfm.com.
Valentine's Day is upon us, and you know, your team at Reed's Jewelers will make sure you find what you want for your loved one. From diamonds for her to watches for him, Reed's Jewelers. Upstairs in Haywood Mall, next to Belk. Endorsed by Roar listeners like Zeke.
I'm calling in for one of your sponsors, man. Wally over there at Reed's Jewelers. Go check him out. They'll get you what you need. If not, he'll find it, and he will definitely take care of you.
Zeke loves Reed's Jewelers. You will as well. Reed's Jewelers. Haywood Mall, next to Belk. Online at Reed's.com.
Valentine's Day is just around the corner. If this is your first time thinking about what you're getting your special someone, don't worry. Buff City Soap in Clemson and Greenville has got you covered. Whether it's a coworker, a friend, teacher, significant other, or just someone that could use a little thank you, treat them to delightfully scented plant-based soaps, bath bombs, laundry soap, body butter, beard oil, pet soap, and more. Visit Buff City Soap in Clemson in the Hartwell Village Shopping Center and in Greenville at the Shops at Green Ridge.
Gary Mahaffey here with Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. First, let me thank all the WCCP listeners for making annual enrollment very special for me and my coworkers this year. Are you turning 65 in 2023? If so, you may be pondering your Medicare options. Many people feel like this is not important if they are working on and remaining on their company plan. Even if this is the ultimate outcome, I recommend that you look at all options for meeting your healthcare needs. If I can assist you in this somewhat confusing process, please call me at 864-307-8484 today. And please remember, my services always come free to you and that I will shepherd you through Medicare in the unlikely event that I do not represent a company or specific plan that you are interested in. So again, please call today at 864-307-8484.
Quite often, animals show us how to be our best selves. They make us laugh when we've had a hard day, smile when it's raining, and cuddle when we just need a companion. Sometimes pet owners need a little help with their care, and that's why Clemson Paw Partners was created, offering low-cost spay, neuter, and vaccinations for dogs and cats in the upstate. All staff except vets and techs are 100% unpaid volunteers with big hearts for helping animals in our community. Donate and learn more today at ClemsonPawPartners.org.
It's time for you to come meet the newest and best deli in Greenville, Clayton's Deli in the Overbrook area on East North Street. At Clayton's, Chef Austin makes house-made pastrami, house-made roast beef, and more to give you the most delicious sandwiches, burgers, Cubans, Philly cheesesteak, and other mouth-watering sandos, both hot and cold, and all the classic deli sides you want. There's also a weekly soup special to help warm you up on these cold days. And with your New Year's resolutions, any sandwich can be made into a salad. Come give us a try. Clayton's Deli and the Pound Cake Man. Just delicious.
Before New Cascade Platinum Plus, I would pre-rinse all my dishes because my old detergent just wouldn't get them clean. But now, I do dishes differently. A no pre-wash, no rewash, money-back guaranteed kind of different. Because Cascade Platinum Plus has double the grease-fighting power of Dawn built right in, with twice the scrubbing power, giving me a clean that lets me break all the dish rules. I just scrape, load, and I'm done. Yep. So clean. With Cascade Platinum Plus, I dare to dish differently.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Tuning in from the car?
What's that for the touchdown?
Stay connected to The Roar after you run your errands using our app or website. Download The Roar app on your phone by searching WCCP-FM The Roar in the App Store. Or tune in on our website, theroarfm.com/listen.
You know, this is a good text on the Adams Co-Roofing text line. It's from our friend Ralph Patterson. He says this, guys, some of the scheduling is impossible to work out fairly because TV networks tell conference offices when you're playing.
100%.
Totally true.
But they tell you that you have to provide X number of games on a Monday night. They don't tell you that Duke, North Carolina has to be the preceding Saturday. They don't tell you when Duke's bye week is going to be or when Syracuse's bye week is going to be. I mean, instead of that bye on a Tuesday night, make that bye on a Saturday night. That's my point. I get that you have to have those. And from an exposure standpoint, it's perfect. It's great for the conference. But you've got to help those teams in that in the way that you schedule before and after that game.
And you know what? You know what? It's a great point because now we're talking about a league setting itself up for maximum success. More so than, like, there's a way to get eyeballs on your game. Like last night was big because you had the Play for K women's basketball game with Virginia Tech and NC State at 6 o'clock. You had Duke Miami at 7 o'clock. It's a great night viewership wise for the conference. There won't be a higher rated women's basketball game featuring ACC teams all year long. There won't. And that's a really, really good exclusive primetime window. Duke Miami, North Carolina, Virginia Tech, but like it almost doesn't matter. If you're not putting a terrible team on there, it doesn't matter who it is. That's such an exclusive viewing window on a Monday night. People are going to watch that game. You don't have to undermine your own team's ability to have a successful season in order to do the stated thing with that Monday night slot.
That's all I'm saying right there.
Before we get to more of this, I want to tell you about our friends at the Phoenix Center. They are helping young people make better choices, and that's something we need. That's something that parents work hard at. If you're a parent, you know you hope and pray that your kids make good choices, and you try to reinforce those messages. But sometimes you're not enough. Sometimes it can't just be about you. It's got to be about the entire community getting behind you. And sometimes you just don't know quite what to say or how to bring it up or how to make those messages and to make those conversations really stick with young people. To avoid alcohol and drugs and vaping and so forth. That's where the Phoenix Center comes in. They've got materials on their website. You go to phoenixcenter.org, check under resources. They have brochures. They have pamphlets. They have PDFs. They have an app that you can use as well. Just to give a little bit of peace of mind when it comes to how can we better integrate these messages in the conversations we're already having with our young people. That's what they're doing in this community. They're doing a great job at phoenixcenter.org. Check under resources. You know, this brings to mind what you're saying about the scheduling. It brings to mind something that we say all the time in the Pac-12 for football. And by the way, Pac-12 basketball, I looked this up. The majority of Pac-12 games are coupled because of the cost of travel. So in the Pac-12, you have like, let's say Oregon plays at Arizona on a Thursday night. Pac-12 basketball a lot of times on Thursday night. And then you play on Saturday at Arizona State because you're kind of you're kind of coupling those two road trips. If you play at Utah, you play at Colorado 36 hours later. That's more about cost and time than anything else.
And also, when everybody in your conference does it, it sort of balances out.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, nobody really has an unfair advantage, right, so to speak, because you're not having to do a 36-hour turnaround where you have to get on a plane and fly somewhere else. That's 100% right. The other thing is, if you look at the landscape of, let's say, football seasons, all right, it's a little bit different in football. How many times have we seen that Oregon at Washington State Friday night game? USC travels to Oregon State. Utah goes on the road to Stanford or Cal. Like that, those are, you are setting your league up for failure, putting your best teams on the road on not Saturday. It, like, even if you don't agree philosophically, the proof is in the pudding. How many times have we seen that backfire? You make your best teams do a weird thing with your schedule. Guess what? You're not going to the playoff. Now, maybe you weren't good enough to go to the playoff anyway, but you're not going to the playoff now for sure because you didn't set your best teams up for success in that regard. We have clowned the Pac-12 on that for years. Stop putting Washington when they're good enough to go to the playoff, or Utah or USC or Oregon or whoever it is. Stop making them go on the road on Friday nights to play teams that are just trying to make bowls. Because you're asking for an upset, and that does not help your league. Similarly, ACC. You know going into the year that Duke is going to be a team of teenagers. You know that. You might not know what Miami's roster construction is. You might not know Miami's going to be great. But you know it's going to be hard for a group of teenagers. Heck, it'd be hard if they were 22-year-olds to bounce back from the North Carolina rivalry game and go on the road, the longest road trip that they have, down to Miami. You know that's going to be hard for them to do. And you made them do it anyway. And you know what? If Duke's seeding suffers and they lose in round one because they're an 8 seed instead of a 6 seed or something like that, you can look at scheduling like this as maybe a factor into why the ACC perhaps doesn't do as well in March Madness.
Now, after that little rant about scheduling, the game itself, did you watch any of this last night, Duke,
I did.
Miami?
I did.
Again, Duke is better than they looked last night. But Miami looked like an NBA team playing a college team last night. I mean, they were feeling it. And Duke had zero chance in that game. I'm sorry. Miami doesn't sell out many times, and they sold out last night. So they had the crowd on top of everything else. They were clicking. They look like a hungry team last night. They had that pro vibe about them. Their style of offense already has that to begin with.
Uh-huh.
And then you're setting up these backdoor cuts and alley-oops and, oh, man, they were feeling it last night.
I'm telling you, two things could be true at once is the ultimate example of that. Miami was very, very good last night. They were in fuego, as they say. Also, Duke was trash.
Mm-hmm.
They were legitimately messing up dribble handoffs. Like, I saw a dribble handoff one time where Kyle Filipowski, like, threw it off a guy's shoulder out of bounds. It was some Bad News Bears kind of stuff that Duke was doing. You could tell that there was lethargy. There was frustration. They were not emotionally capable of meeting that environment. They just weren't. And John Shire knew it too, because he wasn't coaching that hard last night at times. He was just kind of sitting there watching it unfold.
I tell you this, I was a little hard on Clemson's big guy post players versus Miami. But after seeing what Miami did to Filipowski and Lively last night, I mean, they had 20 points between them, but those two big fellas, I would have thought, you know, could have really carried their team. And, I mean, they kind of got shut down, too. So, Filipowski did have 9 rebounds, so I'll give him that.
Duke is the second best offensive rebounding team in the country by rate, and Miami got 46% of their own misses against Duke last night. So when we're talking about Clemson only getting 2 on Saturday, I think that's on Clemson. I think Clemson should have gotten more offensive rebounds. But it might be that Miami's just really freaking good at maximizing their possessions with guards that are more capable of kind of ducking in, trying to get a cheap rebound, and still sprinting back on defense. They also don't care as much about defense, so that's, you know, you're giving some stuff up to get what you want. That was the most impressive thing to me, is that Miami was just spry off the floor. They were ripping rebounds away from Duke, a team that, I've said it a million times, their best offense is throw it on the rim, go get it, and lay it in or dunk it. Duke couldn't do that like they wanted to last night because Miami was that good on the glass. They just were. They had 38 rebounds to Duke's 31. And that's one of many reasons why it was a blowout. No Whitehead was also big for Duke last night. So I'll throw that in there, that I think they really missed him in a lot of ways on the floor, especially, as you said, with Filipowski not having a particularly good game. Roach turned it over 5 times. Proctor turned it over 5 times. Miami's ball pressure that they just kind of randomly throw at you, it really, really bothered Duke's guards last night.
You've got 3 games in the ACC tonight. 2 of them are very interesting, Quok. The one that's not, Louisville at Pitt. I mean, I got a play on that, but that ain't going to be – that's not a game, right? The other two, North Carolina at Wake Forest. North Carolina coming off the – they've lost, what, 2 in a row now? And you go to Wake Forest, that's a very hard place to play. You're probably still licking your wounds a little bit from Saturday yourself. 7-5 in conference play versus Wake Forest at 7-6 in conference play. From a postseason standpoint, it's in terms of regular season conference championship, that ship has sailed for both of these teams. But for postseason now, they both have to have this one.
This is a
big game in that regard.
It's not quite must win because there are other opportunities on the schedule, but it is incredibly important, I think, for both these teams. I actually think right now in the moment, Wake Forest is probably not a tournament team. It might be slightly more important for Wake Forest to win this game as opposed to North Carolina, except for the perception of a 3-game losing skid. I think the longer losing streaks go, you'd almost rather have a win-loss, win-loss, win-loss and just, you know, get to 500 rather than being in the middle of a losing streak the way that North Carolina would be if they fall here. We can also go back in this one to last year when Wake Forest hosted North Carolina and they put 98 points on UNC last year. Ooh. They beat the brakes off North Carolina, which you could say, again, it's going to go one of two ways. Either North Carolina is going to be aggrieved and they're going to take a chip on the shoulder into this game. Personally, I think that's hard to imagine after the way they lost to Duke that they would be able to pick up a chip that big and take it into Wake Forest. Or Wake Forest is going to run Baycott out of commission and they're going to run him off the floor. I'm not sure this game is going to be close because I think it's a styles make fights type of game.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben, I'm going to say something that's wild. I don't think North Carolina's guards are disciplined enough not to play the way Wake Forest wants to play.
I don't think North Carolina... Say, okay, what now?
I don't think North Carolina's guards are disciplined enough not to play the way that Wake Forest wants to play.
I got you.
I think they will play an up-tempo game, even though that's the only way Wake Forest can win. Now, North Carolina likes to play with tempo, too. But Wake Forest has to neutralize Baycott. How do you do that? You shoot in transition and with like secondary break type stuff. You don't want the shot clock under 10 on either side. You want North Carolina to shoot quick and you want to get a shot up quick. And I think Wake Forest will succeed in imposing that style. And so I am putting $25 on Wake Forest minus 0.5 point. They're winning tonight. That's a pick, Ben.
That's a pick.
Well, if you're taking Wake Forest, I too am taking Wake Forest, and I'm seeing it even at the moment.
Ooh.
So I'm going to take that at even.
Okay. I like it. 25 for you?
25 for me.
Okay, very good. I'm really interested in that game, though. On the other...
I'm with you stylistically there.
Okay, excellent. So we're on the same page. This is really a problem. This is a problem.
Congratulations on the big W, North Carolina.
All right, in our final segment, we'll talk more ACC hoops because there is another big game tonight. And there's been some interesting anonymous quotes attributed to some league coaches about some of the teams in the league that we may have time to get to some of that as well. Final segment of the program is next.
Carolina Auto Connection, the little dealer with the big heart. Celebrating 14 years serving the upstate. With no haggle pricing and no dealer fees, their customers come from all over the world. They have the lowest prices on the best pre-owned vehicles. Their staff is straightforward and honest. All vehicles are 49-point inspected and serviced, so you can buy with confidence. Carolina Auto Connection, 1434 Boiling Springs Road, just off I-85 Spartanburg. Call 864-814-DEAL for an appointment or CarolinaAutoConnection.com.
When you're looking for the beautiful gift she deserves, do what I do. Shop at Turner's Jewelers. They have an amazing selection of silver, gold, precious gems, and diamonds. And Turner's can create a custom piece she'll absolutely treasure, whatever the occasion. Trust a tradition of family excellence for more than 60 years. Shop now at turnersjewelers.com or visit them today in the Applewood Shopping Center next to Belk and Seneca. Southern hospitality meets diamond know-how at Turner's Jewelers.
Uncompromising quality, reliability, comfort, and safety. Toyota trucks, SUVs, and cars deliver those attributes, and you'll find them at South Carolina's oldest Toyota dealer, Ralph Hayes Toyota. Whether it's a pre-owned or new Toyota, Ralph Hayes Toyota delivers the goods. Built on their over 70 years as a family-owned dealership, see the state-of-the-art Ralph Hayes Toyota pre-owned store, as well as the flagship store in Anderson on Clemson Boulevard. Ralph Hayes Toyota.
The world is turned upside down, and it's hard to make sense of it all. The alpha male is under attack, and people are more worried about pronouns and toxic masculinity. If you want to get that alpha feeling back, get that weight off, and improve your performance, come see us today at Low Country Male. We specialize in testosterone replacement and anti-aging. For around $200 a month, we take care of your testosterone, labs, and doctor visits. We also offer ED plans, the P-shot, and peptide therapy. Book your appointment today, lowcountrymail.com.
Your Pie Clemson is hiring for their new location at Dockside, convenient to Clemson, Seneca, Pendleton, or Central. If you're looking for a fun, energetic work environment with free food, come join the team. Many full-time and part-time positions available with quick advancement into leadership roles. Learn all the details of running your own business. Apply now at yourpie.com/careers to be a part of the Clemson Your Pie family. Pizzas, brews, gelato, it's your pie.
My Garage by Essex is proud to service the Clemson area with excellent service on all makes and models. They are professionals that perform high-quality workmanship with high-quality parts. With life being uncertain, you know you can be certain of My Garage by Essex, taking care of you and your family. Stop in to see them at 551 Old Greenville Highway, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. till 5 p.m., or call 864-633-5800.
Quite often, animals show us how to be our best selves. They make us laugh when we've had a hard day, smile when it's raining, and cuddle when we just need a companion. Sometimes pet owners need a little help with their care, and that's why Clemson Paw Partners was created, offering low-cost spay, neuter, and vaccinations for dogs and cats in the upstate. All staff except vets and techs are 100% unpaid volunteers with big hearts for helping animals in our community. Donate and learn more today at clemsonpawpartners.org.
Let me guess. Unknown caller? You could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection. The latest innovation from Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And we'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection.
Valentine's Day is upon us, and you know, your team at Reed's Jewelers will make sure you find what you want for your loved one. From diamonds for her to watches for him, Reed's Jewelers, upstairs in Haywood Mall, next to Belk. endorsed by Roar listeners like Zeke.
I'm calling in for one of your sponsors, man. Wally over there, Reed Jewelers. Go check him out. They'll get you what you need. If not, he'll find it, and he will definitely take care of you.
Zeke loves Reed's Jewelers. You will as well. Reed's Jewelers. Haywood Mall next to Belk. Online at Reed's.com.
You're listening to 105.5 and 97.5, The Roar.
He can absolutely move in a different direction quickly without warning.
Where every day is game day.
All right, final segment of the program. Glad to have you with us. We are getting you ready for the night of college hoops. And we gave you Wake Forest basically in a coin flip against North Carolina. Here's the one thing. We were just talking about that during the break, Ben. The one thing that concerns me about the matchup here is if for some reason North Carolina does not acquiesce to Wake Forest and just try to run, which, again, I'm not sure that Caleb Love and or R.J. Davis are going to be disciplined enough to just play the way they need to play to win the game. But if they do, they don't really have an answer for Baycott except put him on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And double-team him and leave guys open, which he had 21 points, I think he had 9 rebounds and 5 assists in the first meeting, and North Carolina shot very well from 3 and ended up winning by 9. That would be the worst nightmare of Wake Forest if North Carolina is able to get threes in the half court.
Yeah, and I mean, Baycott is most likely going to be a problem for Wake Forest, but conversely, I think Tyree Appleby is going to be a problem for North Carolina.
I think Appleby and Hildreth are very good downhill drivers, and Appleby's even quick off ball screens. Like, if your ball screen coverage is a little bit wonky, that's a foul.
And then and when you've got Appleby driving and somebody like Monsanto set up on the three-point line and knocking those down, that's Wake Forest at their best.
Yes, and Wake Forest at their best normally is at home.
Yeah.
Which you could totally see that playing out at the Joel.
I could see tonight. I think that'll be a good game either way.
I think so too. The other one tonight that's big is a 9 o'clock, and that's NC State and Virginia. That game is on ACC Network. UNC Wake Forest, by the way, on ESPN. NC State Virginia on ACCN. This is like a 7.5-ish point spread for Virginia, or it was at about 1 o'clock when I checked last. And, Ben, honestly, that feels about right to me because I just feel like I don't have a great read on if NC State is going to be able to win the kind of game that Virginia is going to make them play.
People are awfully in love with North Carolina State right now. And I get it to a certain extent. But other coaches in the league speak highly of NC State.
Can I read these for NC State? Yeah.
By the way, I'm going to take NC State in those points tonight. I think seven and a half too many points. I'm going to say I think Virginia wins this one in a squeaker.
That's a pick.
Here's what the anonymous coaches are saying about NC State. They're dang good. They didn't say dang, by the way, but we're post car ride now, or post elementary school car line. There's a reason they went toe-to-toe with Kansas. Terquavion Smith's one of the best pro prospects in our league. You have to make him defend and try to get him in foul trouble. He's not as good of a defender as their other guys. You want to keep Jarkel Joyner out of the paint and take away Smith's threes. Good luck with both those things, by the way. Best of luck to you. DJ Burns is a big-time force, but he can only play 25 minutes or so because of his stamina. Sidebar, I love that kid. I love his game.
Mm-hmm.
He is legitimately built like Barney. He's built in an oval. He's not square, like, or rectangle. He's ovular. He's an ovular body type. And he just gets where he wants to go. He's so skilled. He's got the back to the basket game.
You don't get that anywhere else, folks.
I love that guy.
Right here.
Built like Barney. He's not a good defender because he doesn't move his feet well. You know, shut your mouth about Burns. You shut your mouth, anonymous coach. He moves his feet great for a 275-pound guy.
275. Yeah, he's a burger away from 300.
Yeah, Kelly Have we told you about One Biscuit Away? I should even say this. Kelly played against a player when she, and I remember the player too. She was good, but I don't know how.
Was she big boned?
She was big, but she was short too. Short, okay. Big boned. And she shot from her hip and shot 40%. It was unbelievable. They called her One Biscuit Away. That was the name. He says their defense is very undisciplined, which I agree with. They compete, they play hard, but when they're helping and rotating, you can get good shots against them. You have to handle their pressure. They've had some injuries, so their lack of depth could hurt them. I don't think lack of depth hurts them in this matchup because Virginia is not going to make a run. I think the thing that would hurt NC State is that they don't actually – they don't play disciplined enough defense to win a game that's like 60 possessions. To me, they need to play a game that's like 70 possessions where it's a little more frantic and athletic in nature.
Mr. Ken Palm over there, where is NC State in defending the three?
NC State, hold please. God, I was just looking at this too. NC State is 114th in the country from, no wait, that's offense. They are 43rd in the country in three-point defense.
Okay. Okay.
And inside the ACC, they're second. Only Duke has defended at a higher clip.
All right. Then I'm feeling good about my +7.5.
Okay. You know what? That's a good reason. I like being simple about it.
I'm feeling good.
In league games, let me see. In league games, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
In league games, NC State is number one in three-point defense at 30.6% allowed. Virginia is second in league games, shooting the three at 38.3%. Mere percentage points, like decimal points, behind Wake Forest. NC State, I'm going to tell you what right now. NC State is a team that I would not want to face in an NCAA tournament or ACC tournament situation. With those two guards... They're right to say they're undisciplined, but they're undisciplined in a way that you sort of are sucked into playing that way. Like they kind of make you undisciplined too, mm-hmm. if you're not careful. They have got legitimate bucket getters. And you know, we talked about this yesterday about their guards versus Miami's guards. I think if I had to win one game with one backcourt in the ACC, I think I would go with Smith and Joyner because I think they are just flat out bucket getters. Smith is great in the passing lane. He's a little bit like Isaiah Wong in that way. Like, he'll take some chances and maybe he'll give up a couple baskets, but he'll also get you a couple layups with steals.
Well, we saw that game earlier this year in Raleigh. The Wolfpack won by 2, and Smith had 20, Joyner had 11.
Okay.
So there you go.
Wong and Pack do?
Isaiah Wong had 13. Or 25, and Pack had 8.
Okay, so they limited Pack. How about that? Nobody's been able to limit Pack. That's unbelievable. I think that's going to be a good game, though. Anytime you give me a Styles make fight situation, anytime you give me a high-stakes game, and a team like NC State that has very quietly been, they could win their 20th game of the season tonight. NC State is 19-5. Now, a little bit like Clemson, they have some non-conference strength of schedule concerns.
Mm-hmm.
20-5 is legit. Yeah. And they've won 4 in a row, playing good ball. This would be a nice win for them. This would be a huge win for them.
One other quick note about that Miami-NC State. They had 35 points off the bench in that game. Burns and Ross both came off the bench and had 30 between the two of them.
Okay.
So they took advantage of that inside game against Miami. Yeah, I think this is a good game tonight, though.
Here's some others. If for some reason those turn into laughers, I'm going to give you some more on the slate tonight because I think there's a lot of good action. At 6:30, you have Marquette, Connecticut on FS1.
Oh, timeout. So if on the Adams & Co. Roofing text line, our good friend, contributor to the show, Tiger Harley, needs some help. So if you could get off early, he needs somebody to grab some rice, get it cooking, cool it in the fridge, and also needs a bottle of teriyaki.
Oh, man.
I love it when somebody texts us by mistake.
I do love that. I love that so much. And it, frankly, it hasn't happened Nearly enough.
We're doing a little rice rolls over there. Home-cooked sushi.
Oh, that is funny.
What time do I need to be there?
That is funny. That sounds delightful. It really does. No word on Tiger Harley about his actual message there. Marquette, Connecticut. We talk about that. First one to 80 wins. That's going to be a really good game. Great game.
I love Marquette's game, but I like UConn's too.
You know, we talked about Duke and North Carolina coming down the mound a little bit, especially Duke. Indiana hosts Rutgers. Now, I know it's hosting Rutgers, but you just beat Purdue, and now you're going to get in a street fight with a team that can't score? I don't know, Ben. I think this one's a first one to 50 wins.
Rutgers defense is so good.
They're really good.
They're a tough team.
I watched a lot of the Michigan State game. No reason. Just gave out Rutgers -4.5, and it hit. It took the whole freaking game, though, for crying out loud. They lost to injury Mag, the kid who came off the bench for them and was such a good reserve, got some length to him, really good leaper, got to the line a bunch, and was a good foul shooter for them on a team with not good foul shooters. I think he's out, so that would be a big loss for Rutgers if he's not able to come back. He's been a kind of a critical piece and a role for them. 7 o'clock, Auburn, Texas A&M. Ben, I'm going to do this. A&M's too good at home. I don't trust Auburn. They couldn't score 50 against Tennessee on Saturday. Give me A&M laying 2.5 at home against Auburn for $20.
That's a pick. That's a pick.
Okay.
Give me Buzz at home. Give me Buzz at home.
All right.
Dayton VCU might be a fun one. Those are two of the top three teams in the A-10 tonight, CBS Sports Network. And then we get to 9 o'clock, where Maryland travels to Michigan State. Love that. We got NC State, Virginia. If you're a glutton for punishment, South Carolina is on the road at Missouri. So if you really want to watch that, go ahead. We haven't talked about G.G. Jackson, by the way. Frustrated young guy. Frustrated with the old IG Live. From Saturday. Arkansas goes to Kentucky tonight on ESPN. And my final major play here, this is my favorite play of the night. TCU is going to be without Miles again, the point guard. They're 1-1 without him, but they're going on the road to Kansas State. Kansas State has played well at home all year. Ben, give me Kansas State -4.5 against TCU. They're not the same without Miles. $40 on it.
That's a pick. That's a pick.
$40?
$40. Yeah, that's an easy one. Kansas State's winning by double figures against TCU. They don't shoot it well enough. They've got some guys that can break you down off the bounce, but I mean, Miles is ahead of the snake for them.
I'm not sure I love the A&M pick, but the rest of those sound pretty good to me.
How do you feel about Akron -2 against Toledo?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't feel.
I'm just putting $10 on that one. I'm more testing a theory than anything else. text for the 864 says this, the final good game tonight. For the Insomniacs out there, Nevada at New Mexico. These are two KenPom top 50 teams. Ben, this is a coaching matchup of two former Big Ten legends. In one corner, we have Steve Alford from Nevada, former New Mexico and Iowa head coach. And in the other corner, we have Richard Pitino for New Mexico.
Richard.
Steve Alford and Richard Pitino.
I went to bed at 10:15 last night. I will not be awake for that game.
Oh, that means you got so much energy. Oh, man. I fell asleep watching Gonzaga St. Mary's on Saturday and missed the overtime. And so now I'm